So now that you have seen the level of classification we're talking about in these documents at Mar-a-Lago, and you've learned that DOJ is investigating possible Espionage Act violations, are you concerned that Donald Trump was keeping these highly classified documents at his resort?
Well, we have a number of concerns, Brianna. Obviously, you know, one is whether or not the raid itself was justified.
That wasn't the question she asked you, Congressman. Don't you care about stolen classified docs?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
I guess not.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM, people-powered radio in L.A. Also in Santa Barbara on 98.7, San Diego's 93.7, and in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California on 99.5 FM. We're also heard in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, Round Mountains KKRN, and Eureka's KGOE. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lancaster, Pennsylvania's WLRI, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN. Palinville, New York's WLPP. Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, Workforce Rising, No Lies Radio, Verdant Square Radio, and Detour Talk, blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all around swell fellow, says me from BradBlog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Hey, anyone out there, got opinions, got thoughts, got speculations about the FBI and DOJ obtaining 11 sets of classified, highly sensitive national security documents, some of them very, very sensitive? Well, I want to open up the phones today to your thoughts on that. I figure if cable news and social media has been sort of round-the-clocking it since last Friday with folks speculating as to why Donald Trump even had these documents at Mar-a-Lago in the first place, what might actually be in them, and whether the DOJ and FBI owe the public or members of Congress any more details at all on why they issued this warrant in the first place. Well, if they can do it, we can do it. Our listeners can speculate as well as anybody, says me. 818-985-5735 is our number if you'd like to line up right now for that. I'll try to get to those calls as soon as possible today, since we're in the KPFK studio with a chance to open up the phone lines at 818-985-KPFK. Hi, Desi Doyen.
Hey.
You survive in the heat?
Yes, and I am speculating wildly about what might be going on with
really?
The raid of the classified documents at Trump's hotel.
Do you want to share that speculation or you want to leave it to the callers?
I will wait till the callers wait.
Okay. Chicken. Anyway, so many crimes, in fact, so many Trump crimes, so little time, all of them seemingly coming to a head of some sort right now. On Monday morning, a federal judge in Georgia dismissed Senator Lindsey Graham's attempt to quash his grand jury subpoena to sit for a deposition in Fulton County, Georgia, District Attorney Fani Willis's probe of the conspiracy led by Donald Trump in 2020 to steal Georgia's election. That deposition, unless Graham can figure out how to wriggle out of it, is now scheduled for next Tuesday, just in case you want to mark it down on your calendar. And then this afternoon, in the same conspiracy probe, criminal conspiracy probe, Rudy Giuliani was informed by the district attorney in Georgia that he is now a target of that probe, meaning that he should most likely expect a criminal indictment in the not too distant future. Sorry about that, Rudy. More on both of those stories maybe later, depending on how many of you wish to ring in today. First, some good news from over the weekend. First, world-renowned author Salman Rushdie is, quote, on the road to recovery, according to his agent on Sunday, offering the encouraging news 2 days after the author of the Satanic Verses, among many other things, suffered serious grievous injury in a stabbing before a lecture in Chautauqua, New York. The announcement followed news that the lauded writer was removed from a ventilator on Saturday and able to talk. Very good news indeed. His agent cautioned that although Rushdie's, quote, condition is headed in the right direction, his recovery will be long. The 75-year-old Rushdie suffered multiple stab wounds in the attack, including a damaged liver, severed nerves in an arm, and in an eye that he is likely to lose, according to earlier reports. Though his life-changing injuries are severe, his usual feisty and defiant sense of humor remains intact, said his son in a Sunday statement, stressing that the author remains in critical condition nonetheless. 24-year-old Hadi Matar of New Jersey, pleaded not guilty Saturday to attempted murder and assault charges in what a prosecutor called, quote, a targeted, unprovoked, pre-planned attack at Western New York's Chautauqua Institution, a nonprofit institution where he was to give that lecture. Rushdie's 1988 Satanic Verses, of course, drew ire from some Muslims who regarded elements of the novel as blasphemy. In 1989, Iran's Grand Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa calling for Rushdie's death before he himself died that same year. The fatwa officially remains in effect, though Iran in recent years has not focused on Rushdie. After more than a decade of living in hiding in recent years, Rushdie has been living largely without security and making public appearances, such as the one last Friday in New York. So hopefully some encouraging news there. But from Iran's right-wing zealots seeking fatwas to our own right-wing zealots calling for death and mayhem, yes, a fatwa of sorts here in the U.S., the FBI and DHS issued a joint intelligence bulletin on Friday warning of, quote, violent threats against federal law enforcement courts and government personnel and facilities. The threats come in the wake of FBI agents executing a lawful federal court-approved search warrant at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort last week. The FBI is reportedly investigating what they describe as a, quote, unprecedented surge of threats against bureau personnel and property, including some threats targeting agents who were listed in court records as having involvement in the search at Mar-a-Lago. The four-page joint bulletin reads, quote, these threats are occurring primarily online and across multiple platforms, including social media sites, web forums, video sharing platforms, and image boards. In fact, as we learned last week, a number of these threats are being published on Donald Trump's own social media site, hilariously called Truth Social. The FBI and DHS, according to the bulletin, would like to ensure that law enforcement, courts, and government personnel are aware of the range of threats and criminal and violent incidents. The bulletin notes that the increase in violent threats includes a threat to place a so-called dirty bomb, yes, a radioactive explosive device, in front of FBI headquarters and issuing general calls for, quote, civil war and armed rebellion, according to CNN. The bulletin also reportedly states that the FBI and DHS have identified threats against specific individuals, including the federal judge who approved the Mar-a-Lago search warrant. A law enforcement source told CNN that officials at the FBI headquarters division responsible for the security of personnel have also examined efforts by online actors to publicly post the personal information of bureau employees, including the agents who conducted the search at Mar-a-Lago. On Friday, the names of two agents who signed paperwork for the search warrant began to circulate online following a leak of the warrant prior to its official unsealing. The warrant was unsealed and released by the judge, Bruce Reinhart, on Friday at the DOJ's request. After Trump's lawyers agreed to the release, the court-released version of the warrant, however, redacted the agents' names. But that came after a full week in which Trump and his attorneys had a copy of the warrant since the Monday search. But while raising both money and phony outrage about the warranted search, Trump and his attorneys refused to release the warrant or the list of documents retrieved during the search to the public. But it was only after Attorney General Merrick Garland asked the court to unseal the document that Trump began demanding that the warrant be released immediately, which he could have done himself days earlier, but didn't. And B, the warrant began appearing at right-wing media outlets close to Trump, but without the redaction of the names of the FBI agents who signed it, putting them at immediate risk, including threats to them, personal details posted online, etc., thanks to Trump's leaking of that warrant without redacting the FBI names. That also came, by the way, several days after the name of the judge on the warrant had also been selectively leaked to right-wing outlets, obviously via Trump sources, since they were the only ones other than the government with a copy of the warrant that Judge Reinhart signed. That, too, led for calls of violence on right-wing social media outlets against the judge and his family. I hope to speak with an expert about all of this and the precipitous rise we are seeing right now in right-wing violence and calls for civil war over the past week and what all of that means going forward. We're going to talk about that a bit later this week on the broadcast. But the joint FBI-DHS bulletin was issued a day after a man who showed up at the FBI's field office in Cincinnati attempted to break in with a nail gun and an AR-15. He died after a chase and a lengthy standoff with law enforcement. The man had reportedly previously come under scrutiny by the FBI due to his ties to the January 6th insurrection and his association with a far-right extremist group, according to law enforcement sources on Friday, after he had appeared to have recently posted online about his desire to kill FBI agents shortly after the search in Florida, including at Trump's own social media site. None of this, of course, has prevented Trump's supporters on the right in Congress, after days of demanding the DOJ release the warrant that Trump could have released himself all along, none of it has kept them from moving the goalposts yet again in their attempt to somehow defend the disgraced former president and criminal scofflaw.
Well, because, you know, moving the goalposts is Republican specialty.
Well, when you can't answer, legitimately, when you can't give a legitimate explanation for something, yeah, just keep moving the goalposts. Just keep making stuff up. That's their only choice at this point.
Alternate metaphor, keep throwing pieces of spaghetti at the wall. Something will stick.
Or ketchup at the wall, depending on how you may see it. On Sunday, several congressional Republicans called on Merrick Garland to justify the search of Mar-a-Lago last week, which Garland said last week that he personally approved that decision to search to seek a search warrant for what turned out, according to the eventually released search records, to be a very highly sensitive and classified set of government documents, actually 11 sets, all unlawfully kept by Trump at his resort. Prior to Garland's announcement that the DOJ had asked the judge to unseal the warrant and the inventory list of the items that were retrieved, barring any objections from Trump, some of Trump's congressional allies attacked the DOJ because they took several days before making that request to release the search warrant. even though Trump could have always done it himself. But after he fulfilled the Republican demands to seek a release of the search warrant, which the judge granted on Friday, yes, the goalposts appeared to have shifted yet again. As Reuters reports today, Republicans stepped up calls on Sunday for the release of the FBI affidavit showing the justification for the seizure of those documents amid reports of heightened threats against federal law enforcement. That affidavit from the Bureau would be the information that was used to obtain a probable cause finding from the judge in order to grant permission to execute that warrant. As we know now from the material that has already been released from the warrant, federal law enforcement officials argued that they had probable cause to believe Trump was in violation of at least three federal laws. Serious ones, including the unlawful retention and perhaps destruction of government documents, obstruction of an official proceeding by the government, and, incredibly enough, violations of the Espionage Act of 1917, including the unlawful retention of defense-related information that could harm the U.S. or aid a foreign adversary. The inventory list of documents taken from the Trump compound last week specified 11 sets of classified documents at his home, including four sets of documents marked as top secret, three marked as secret documents, and three sets of confidential documents. That's the lowest level of classification. But there was one set marked TSSCI, Top Secret Secure Compartmented Information. That is higher even than top secret. And it would mean documents that may only be viewed in a very secure location and only by a very small group of people cleared to view it. We still don't know the actual contents of those classified records, and we may never, given their purported highly sensitive national security content. Last week, Washington Post reported that among the items that officials were seeking in the search were documents that dealt with nuclear matters, either our own or that of foreign nations. In any event, now the warrant was released and the list of documents retrieved, Republicans are now changing tactics to try to demand the affidavit shown to the judge that has not been unsealed, detailing the sensitive reason why a search warrant was merited in such an extraordinary circumstance that required the unprecedented search of a former president's home. Here was Republican Senator Mike Rounds, for example, of South Dakota on Sunday's Meet the Press.
I think releasing the affidavit would help. At least that would confirm that there was justification for this raid. But I think it's very important long term for the Justice Department, now that they've done this, that they show that this was not just a fishing expedition, that they had due cause to go in and to do this, that they did exhaust all other means. And if they can't do that, then we've got a serious problem on our hands.
Yeah, well, I think we've got a serious problem on our hands in the first place, Senator. It was amazing to see these Republicans, going on TV, being more outraged about searching a former president's home when he has been given months and months, almost a year and a half, to return documents, kept claiming he had no more documents that he had stolen from the government. And it turns out they are highly sensitive documents. And
well,
yet
yeah,
they're angry at Merrick Garland?
Well,
really?
Of course they are. That is their pattern. That is the Republican playbook. You attack whoever is investigating you and deflect attention away from what, you know, you did or your person did, and deflect it onto the people who are attacking you or investigating you in this case. I mean, Trump stole the documents. Trump defied subpoenas to return the documents that were asking nicely, pretty please. And the seriousness of these national security documents, as we can so far see, that there's a reason for the Department of Justice to decide, hey, let's investigate him on the Espionage Act. I mean, this is how they have to respond. Republicans have no other choice but to attack.
Yeah,
says
but,
me.
But what about Merrick Garland and this outrage of taking documents and bothering a president and his home? It's outrageous, Desi.
I know. It would be nice if Republicans cared more about the country and national security than they did about their party, but, you know.
Separately, on Sunday, the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee, led by Democrat Mark Warner and Republican Marco Rubio, asked the DOJ and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to provide the seized documents themselves to their committee on a classified basis, because they theoretically have the clearance in that committee to see whatever classified material might have been taken. So at least two different asks here. One, the affidavit from the search warrant, which would almost certainly need to be highly redacted if it was released in order to block the disclosure of both the contents of the documents that they seized and the FBI eventually obtained, as well as their sources and methods for learning that Trump continued to retain even more documents after he claimed that he had given them all back. So, yeah, despite over a year and a half of attempting to retrieve the documents that the former president stole from the White House, whether they are classified or not, by the way, that is a crime. Less aggressive and invasive means were used to try to obtain those documents, including polite requests from the National Archives, which is supposed to retain and catalog all of these documents on behalf of the people of the United States. That polite request resulted in the return of about 15 boxes of stuff, documents, including some classified last February. But then, apparently, that was not all of them. So a federal subpoena was politely issued for the rest of the material after the National Archive made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice once they discovered both classified materials and missing materials. Then there was an attempt by a top DOJ official to personally visit Mar-a-Lago, where he personally briefly met with Donald Trump in June this summer to try to retrieve the rest of the missing classified material, at which time we have learned over this past weekend that he was given some, but Trump's lawyers at the time signed a document certifying that, well, that's it. That's all of the remaining material that we had. Everything has been turned over. As it turns out, that was a lie, if you can imagine. So the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee is now asking to see which of the stolen documents were retrieved last week, and they are requesting a, quote, assessment of potential risks to national security because of it, all as a result of this mishandling of these files by Donald Trump when he stole them and stored them in a basement storage room at Mar-a-Lago. So my question for you. My questions, if you would like to ring in, one of them at least, while I think it's the job of the Senate Intel Committee to assess any damage done, should the affidavit be released publicly, or should it only be released to the Senate Intel Committee, or should it not be released at all? In normal cases, if you and I had stolen government documents and had our home searched for 9 hours by the FBI, there would be no release of the affidavit used to find probable cause and get that search warrant. And in theory, a former president is not supposed to have any more rights or freedoms than you or I. But of course, we know that is nonsense. Of course, former presidents get more deference by far than you or I would. And with that in mind, should the DOJ release the affidavit used to obtain the search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago? My phone number is 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. I've got other questions as well, however. So the warrant was made public along with the list of stolen, purportedly highly classified national security documents on Friday. It was a huge story on Friday. It came on the same day as an arguably huger story, in one sense, that would be the landmark $370 billion climate bill that was passed by the House on Friday after being passed, by the Senate. The president is expected to sign that this week, but it was a huge deal for both the Democrats Not one single Republican voted for it, and for the climate, and for mankind itself, even though many on the right and sadly some on the supposed left have been lying about that bill in recent days. I would strongly recommend, if you didn't hear it, tune into my interview with climate and energy expert David Roberts from Friday, which both explains the bill and speaks to many of the false claims from both the right and the left about what Roberts describes as a long overdue, revolutionary and transformative measure and transformative moment, really, for the fight against climate change. You can download the full conversation, as always, for free at bradblog.com if you missed it. But because of that, we actually sort of gave short shrift to this topic on Friday, and a lot has happened since. And since then, since Friday, all weekend long, the TV pundits and folks on social media have been speculating about what is in those documents and why Trump, despite so many chances, refused to give them back. He was given one chance after another after another. And he would have been likely in no trouble at all because he's a former president had he done so. But he didn't. Why? Why didn't he? Now, I don't tend to speculate on this show or even report on speculation in general, but it doesn't mean you can't. I figure if the folks on cable TV can do it, so can you. 818-985-5735. Among the questions raised and speculated upon that I have seen in and read in recent days, why in the world did he have these classified documents in the first place? Why didn't he turn them over when he was subpoenaed? What was he thinking about doing with them? Or what has he already done with them? You can give me a call, 818-985-KPFK. You are free to speculate. I won't stop you. I won't challenge you. Maybe I'll challenge you, but I'll be nice about it. Who else had access to those documents? What was the reason for storing them in the basement at Mar-a-Lago? And were those documents shared in any way? Why did he refuse to give the documents back time and time again, even though they were so sensitive and so secret that the government ended up having little choice but to seize them at the first opportunity? 818-985-5735. And will Donald Trump finally be held accountable legally for this? Will he face charges the way, for example, whistleblower Reality Winner did after stealing just one document revealing that Russian intelligence had hacked their way into voter registration systems prior to the 2016 presidential election? She was charged with violating the Espionage Act of 1917, and she received 5 years and 3 months in federal prison, and she is still in prison for that, by the way. Then there's Chelsea Manning. When she was charged for violating the Espionage Act and stealing government documents, she ended up spending some 7 years in jail before her sentence was commuted, after revealing war crimes that were carried out by members of the U.S. military, and yet she went to jail. And then there's, of course, I mentioned this on Friday, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. In 1953, they were put to death. They were executed for violating the Espionage Act of 1917, the same act that a federal judge last Friday found probable cause to believe that the former president of the United States violated by stealing highly sensitive national security documents from the White House and refusing several opportunities to return them to law enforcement, and even lied to them about having done so. Why? Why did all of this go on? By the way, has the activity of the past week changed your assessment of whether Merrick Garland is taking Trump-related matters seriously and aggressively enough? I'd love to hear from you. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. I have got some more, of course, and some breaking news that I want to take a look at and make sure it is correct before I report it to you. All of that straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. If you haven't noticed by now, it's no easy feat finding facts, real facts, not alternative facts, over your public airwaves. We try to bring you real facts, truth, and clarity without fear or favor each and every day on the Bradcast. But we need your help to do it. If you enjoy the show and or get something from it, please give back a bit if you can by visiting us at bradblog.com/donate. Your support helps Desi and me continue to bring you real, independent, progressive news 5 days a week over your public airwaves. We simply can't do it without your help, and that help is needed more now than ever. Please stop by bradblog.com/donate today to make a one-time donation, or even better, automated monthly support. It'll take you about 60 seconds, and you can rest easy knowing that we'll be here every day making sense of it all, or at least trying to. That's bradblog.com/donate, and thanks.
Some of those documents were marked top secret, sensitive compartmented information. That is among the highest designation in terms of the extremely grave damage to national security that could be done if it were disclosed. So the fact that they were in an unsecure place, that is guarded with nothing more than a padlock or whatever security they had at a hotel, is deeply alarming.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, taking your calls on what the hell Donald Trump was thinking, what he was trying to do with all of those classified, incredibly highly classified documents down at stealing them from the White House, bringing them down to Mar-a-Lago, and then refusing to give them back for the past year and a half to the point that he had to be searched. That they had to, where they found a probable cause that he, among other crimes, may have violated the Espionage Act. Really? Yes, really. And then there's this, as I mentioned just as we were going to break, from NBC News, ex-Trump Organization official Alan Weisselberg. He's the longtime chief executive officer, chief financial officer of the Trump Organization. He, along with the Trump Organization, was charged in a criminal case by the district attorney in New York some time ago, for tax fraud. Well, Alan Weisselberg is now expected to plead guilty in that tax case.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow.
That's
indeed.
That's a big deal.
It certainly is. Whether he's cooperating or not with officials at this point, I don't know, but that's a huge deal. Alan Weisselberg had been the top financial guy at the Trump Organization going all the way back to when Trump's father headed it. So, yeah, that's kind of big news. Whew, along with everything else today. 818-985-KPFK. Like I said, I got more, but you know what? Let's just get to a couple of your calls at least here. First, Robert in Mar Vista. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Bradcast, sir. Uh-oh, we lost Robert? Did we? Or is that my fault? All right, we'll find out. Let's try Anthony. There we go. Anthony in Ridgecrest. Hey, Anthony. What's up, brother? Welcome to the Bradcast.
Welcome. I'm wondering... Can't someone start their own archive? Like Trump is president and he wants to start an archive at his, say, a presidential library. Can he say, I'm starting an archive? And this is my part of my archive.
Now, you're I'm guessing you're kidding. Is that right?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. No, you can't start your own archive with documents that belong to the United States of America, even if they weren't highly classified documents. Everything that a president creates during his term of service, his 4 years or his 8 years or her 4 or 8 years, belongs to the United States under the Presidential Records Act of 1975. Everything, including a post-it note that he or she may jot something down on. That is a presidential record. That must be turned over to the National Archives at the end of an administration. That said, the National Archives, for example, will work with former presidents, as they are with Barack Obama, to build his library in Chicago, his presidential library. In fact, Donald Trump has lied about some 30 million documents that Barack Obama purportedly stole from the White House when he left office. The National Archives have said that is completely untrue. He stole no such thing. In fact, they are working with the former president in moving some of those documents to Chicago, to where Obama's presidential library will be. Does that make sense, Anthony?
Yeah. You mean Obama has more records than Trump? Oh, I don't know how that could happen.
Who said that Obama has more records than Trump?
Well, that's what he would probably think.
Well,
he thinks that Obama took some records. I got more than he got.
Yeah, Obama took no records. Obama took zero. That said, Obama was in office for 8 years because he wasn't a loser like Donald Trump. So, yeah, there's probably at least twice as many documents from Obama, none of which were taken by the former president, but 30 million of which have been moved to Chicago. Anyway, thanks for the call, Anthony. I appreciate it. 818-985-5735. Speculate away. Why, what was Donald Trump doing in stealing classified documents from the United States, from the White House, that belong to the United States, that are supposed to be kept by the National Archives, that he would, even after he was warned over and over again to give them all back, including reportedly by his own advisors? And he still didn't. Why didn't he? Why not? What's in those documents? 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Harold in L.A. Hey, Harold, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, man, Brad, you were supposed to have the answer. I mean, this is bigger than a black hole or the explosion of the sun. Why'd he do it?
I don't know. You were supposed to call it and tell me. Any guesses?
Well, one guess is maybe the gravesite of Hoffa, but anyway, it has to be, gosh, it's like you said earlier, some type of, I can't even speculate, I'm too scared to say it.
Well, go ahead, as long as it doesn't violate the FCC, go ahead and say it, Harold.
he worked with the Russians.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, don't be scared of that. And you think there's evidence of that, or you think that he was going to give the documents to? Now, I've heard a lot of people speculate, for example, that, you know, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, got $2 billion from the Saudi Arabians for some reason after Trump left office. He was given $2 billion by the Saudis for some reason to invest in whatever it was that Jared Kushner feels like investing in. Was that in exchange for something, some information that was in these documents? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for your irresponsible speculation, Harold. It is greatly appreciated, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Oh, we got Robert back. Let's try him. Robert in Mar Vista. Hey, Robert, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for calling back. Oh, Robert, are you there in Mar Vista? Damn it. All right. I'm firing Desi. 818-985-KPFK. What's that, Des? What'd you say?
I was gonna say put him on hold because then I can find out where he went, because he got disconnected before, but he called back. So
and now he's disconnected
anyway.
Again. Call back, Robert. 818-985-KPFK. I have no idea how to put someone on hold. I can hardly get them on the phone. Let's go to Spencer in Hermosa Beach. Hey, Spencer. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, what's going on, Brad? Just had a question about the Espionage Act.
Yeah.
Where do you stand with in terms of the Julian Assange and the free Julian Assange, because he's kind of being charged under the same act, and if that's a threat to free speech and investigative journalism?
Great question. It depends what the specific charges are that we're talking about regarding Julian Assange. At some point, as far as I'm concerned, he stopped being a journalist and started basically violating the law, not for any great purpose. I used to be a great supporter of his. But he was, you know, just irresponsibly putting out documents that were, you know, included personal emails that were not properly vetted. So it depends on the specific charges if they are ever brought and made. There's a lot of problems with the Espionage Act. It's really old. It needs to be updated, and it is often misused. I mentioned it was misused with Reality Winner and Chelsea Manning. That may end up being the case with Julian Assange. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate it. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to, is that Dia? Dia, okay. Dia in Mar Vista. Hey, Dia, do you know Robert? Can you find him? He's roaming around. Can't seem to get him on the air in Mar Vista. Anyway,
well, I'd let you know. But I wanted to comment on, I think Trump wants something to barter with. Maybe, you know, his head is huge, so maybe he thinks he wants to start his own nation. I mean, this is a man who doesn't think he was supposed to leave the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone with a half a brain would certainly not want to see someone like that get back in. And so possibly a bartering tool or to...
But Dia, he...
something of his own.
Well, but Dia, and that actually makes sense to me, obviously, because everything Donald Trump does is purely transactional. It's what's in it for me. It wouldn't... I wouldn't put him beyond it for a second to sell those documents, to use them somehow in his favor. But when you are told, time and time again, he was told by the National Archives for months and eventually gave back 15 boxes. Then he was subpoenaed by the Department of Justice because they learned that he had more. Then he was visited by a top guy at the DOJ, a top intelligence official, who said, hey, we really, really need to get these back. And they signed a document saying, that's it. That's all I have. He knows he's in trouble. He knows they're on to them. I could see him trying to get away with it at first, but now he knows they're on to them. And yet he continues to hang on to the documents.
Well, I am massively disappointed in American people who keep supporting him blindly. Don't listen. They've said so. They have people saying, we don't listen to the news. The news is lying. Journalists are all liars, and blah blah blah. And we don't. And you know, I love him, and all this ridiculousness. It shows, basically, too, that states' rights isn't necessarily working for the United States with equal education and things like that. Because if people are better educated, I think they can make better decisions. Don't you?
You know what? I don't think the problem is necessarily education. I think the problem is actually miseducation, specifically by certain elements of the media who are purposely going out and lying to these people and have been doing so for years. And they do it on TV, on Fox News. And then you get in your car and you hear Rush Limbaugh, who is now dead, and all of the other right wingers. It is very difficult to hear actual facts, actual truth, actual, shows like the Bradcast, where we don't irresponsibly speculate, where we report, stuff that actually things that have verified evidence to back them up.
Right.
But
it is, as you were pointing out, but it is that certain states and certain communities seem to really promote things that take people down a road of confusion and cultism. I mean, like following people like him, he clearly showed quite a long time ago that he was really not qualified to be the president of the United States. He has no civic background at all, and he didn't want to follow any rules whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, really.
And yet he became more popular. Go figure. And it's because of the lies and because, frankly, even the corporate media, who has just been, pretending for the past 4 years in many respects, oh, he's just another president. He's just a Republican president. And, they do one thing.
If we all get out and vote, if we don't all get out and keep people, get the ones out that are blocking American citizens from voting. And I don't know about you, but anyone that blocks American citizens from voting should go to jail, in my opinion.
I could not agree more. Thank you, Dia. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Stay cool out there, Mar Vista. 818-985-5735. So with that breaking news, by the way, of Weisselberg, if NBC is right about this, that he's planning to plead guilty in this criminal fraud case, when that came in, that threw me off. Because we got some other breaking news as well today. I mentioned earlier that Rudy Giuliani has now been told he is a target in the criminal investigation in Georgia of Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, who is looking at the conspiracy, a big conspiracy, to try to steal the Georgia election in 2020, led by Donald Trump. Well, part of that conspiracy was Lindsey Graham, who also called the Secretary of State, just as Trump did. Remember, Trump called and said, oh, can you just find enough votes to flip the election from Biden to me in Georgia? He called the Secretary of State. Well, so did Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham apparently did that twice. And on one of those calls, at least, he said, hey, what are the rules down there in Georgia? Can we just throw out all of the mail-in votes, tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of them in certain counties where we have questions about some of the mail-in votes, where there were some questions about signatures on the ballot, on the absentee envelopes, or they were missing signatures? Can we take a look at the counties where there were problems like that and just throw out all of the votes, even though they're legitimate, throw them out? Could we do that? Hint, hint, Mr. Secretary of State. That's what Lindsey Graham was calling and doing in Georgia. Now, I suspect Lindsey Graham did not do that on his own. I suspect he was working at, oh, I don't know, someone's direction. I can't imagine who. But all of that puts all of these folks, including now Rudy Giuliani, who's been told he's a target, into a criminal conspiracy, for which, by the way, I think the maximum in jail is something like 20 years. Today, we know that Rudy Giuliani is now a target. Today, we know that Lindsey Graham must show up next Tuesday, unless he can come up with something else legally, must show up next Tuesday and sit down for a deposition. Hey, Lindsey, I recommend you don't lie to the grand jury. I think you might already be in a lot of trouble, along with all of those fake electors who have also, 16 of them, have been told in Georgia that they, too, are targets and likely to be indicted. And then there's this news from the Department of Justice. We were talking before the break about how the Republicans have moved the goalposts. First, they wanted the warrant to be released. Okay, they released it. Now they want the affidavit that argued why they had probable cause to believe that Donald Trump had violated all of these laws and was holding on to these stolen, highly sensitive national security documents. Well, the DOJ has responded to a legal filing from a media coalition who has also sought to unseal the affidavit for the Trump Mar-a-Lago search. The DOJ has responded to say, no, disclosure of the warrant affidavit would irreparably harm the government's ongoing criminal investigation. And they said it would, quote, likely chill future cooperation by witnesses whose assistance may be sought as this investigation progresses, as well as in other high-profile investigations.
Other high-profile investigations, really?
That's what they say. 818-985-KPFK. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back with more of your calls on all of this. What's going on here? And will Donald Trump ever, finally, eventually, pay a price for any of it? And I know that a lot of you were very critical of Merrick Garland over the past many months. Any of this changing your mind? 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is The Bradcast.
Fox
five major corporations now own over 80% of all media in the United States, but they don't control us. The Bradcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Your support helps us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations across the country. You can make a real difference by supporting independent media. This country ain't gonna save itself, but we can all do it together. Join us at bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Don't talk about the weather.
Shh. It's a military secret.
Just keep your wits together.
Shh. That's the safest way to keep it.
These are critical times. Be careful of espionage.
Yes, you.
In such critical times, you've got to watch out for sabotage.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com taking your calls on all of the madness that continues, and I think it's going to get worse, and I think it's going to get crazier, and as I spoke a bit about last week, I think it's going to get very dangerous, you know, based on that, the DHS and the FBI have already put out a bulletin saying they're getting unprecedented numbers of threats. We saw what happened when that guy in Cincinnati last week tried to attack an FBI field office who ended up giving his life for Donald Trump. There's a lot of folks, for some reason, who would give their lives for that idiot. If you were one of those people, I'd love to hear why. 818-985-KPFK. One of the things we also learned over the weekend, this interesting tidbit, the Justice Department had subpoenaed surveillance footage from Mar-a-Lago that was recorded over a 60-day period. So security cameras, including views from outside the storage room in the basement where these incredibly highly sensitive, more secret than top secret documents were stored. And according to a person briefed on the matter, as the Times reported over the weekend, the footage showed that after one instance in which Justice Department officials were in contact with Trump's team about returning the documents, well, boxes were then, after that contact, moved in and out of that storage room. And it was caught on surveillance camera, on surveillance footage that is now in the property of the Department of Justice. So were those boxes retrieved by the FBI, or are they entirely missing now? Do we even know if we have all of the boxes? Interesting that when I open the phones like this, I usually get people calling in to defend Trump. Not getting a whole lot of those calls today for some reason. 818-985-KPFK. Hey, Mike in L.A., welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Hey, Brad. You know, when I was young, the grown-ups tried to make me into a lawyer. So I'm going to try to answer your question about Lindsey Graham's exposure.
All right.
And the Georgia vote-fixing case. According to Corpus Juris Trumpus, you cannot be convicted if you did not say during the verbal crime, quid pro quo. So Lindsey gets to walk free.
I think they should have worked harder to get you to go to law school, Mike, because,
it was my view is endorsed by a plurality of the Republican senators
yes.
in the U.S. Congress, so I can't really apologize for my views.
Yeah.
On the question of whether the affidavit containing the search warrant should mm-hmm. be revealed,
yeah.
Donald Trump is a plain citizen of the United States. He is not an officer of state. He has no status in that respect whatever. So Mr. Garland should proceed normally as he would with anyone else. This is just an attempt to get reversible error introduced into his indictment.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That said, it is extraordinary to bring this kind of a search to a sitting president, to a former president, much less indict that former president. I think it is necessary to indict him, but I think the circumstances are extraordinary enough that more of an explanation will ultimately be needed if you're going to bring charges against this former president than if they brought him against you or me, Mike.
How many former presidents have stolen government records, top secret and top secret SCI,
yeah,
and taken them to their residence?
No, I hear you. And I'm not saying let him off the hook because of it, but I am saying if they have to redact the affidavit, maybe that is necessary. Maybe we need that additional transparency for every step, but I'm not sure.
It will be all black with redactions if they.
Yeah, maybe so. I hear you, and I'm not sure, and I do appreciate your thoughts. Always good to hear from you, Mike. Thank you, sir, for calling. Do we have time for, well, of course we do, because it's Morris, and there's always time for Morris. Hey, Morris, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Haven't talked to you in a while. Hope you're doing well, my friend.
I'm doing real good, Bradley, and thank you for asking. And first of all, Donald Trump, it was a grifter. He took those documents for the purpose of selling them. The FBI got them on tape for the Saudi Arabians. He went to that golf tournament. You remember the golf tournament. Saudi Arabia's up there looking at everything. He's busted cold turkey. I'm glad you mentioned the Rosenberg execution in 1953, because Trump has done a whole lot less, and he deserves what they got. And by the way, in 1934, they had seditious trials in this country against America First, okay, the CEOs and everybody else. Trump might be racketeering, tax fraud, bank fraud, election fraud, and wire fraud, but he's not going to beat this espionage allegation. He's not going to beat it, Brad. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Morris. And he even hung up on himself. Well done. I think he was trying to say that, when Trump was holding that Saudi Arabian golf tournament recently at his course, maybe Trump had some special things to show the Saudis.
That was an opportunity to do some handoffs, if necessary, of something. Now, you asked what people wanted to speculate about what he was withholding.
Yeah.
I would like to speculate that the transcript for Trump's perfect call with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is maybe part of that, the one where he says, maybe you could do us a favor, though, and that transcript was disappeared.
Okay, well, that or any other number of transcripts, like with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, like at Helsinki that time.
Gotta get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Yout Orozco. I almost said it right. And to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Thanks to all the callers who got in and the ones I couldn't get to or I screwed up. My apologies for that. We will try it again soon. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am The Brad Blog. We'll see you there until we see you here. Hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.